Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and the
This is one of those Sunday school lessons that I think everybody remembers if you spend any time in Sunday school, because it's got a little something different in it. Ordinarily, when people come to Jesus for healing or for demon possession or something like this, they come under their own steam. They walk on their own two feet. But this guy, he can't do that. He is a paralytic. He has to be carried in. Now, that wouldn't be unusual, except he doesn't come in the front door. He comes in through the roof. And every Sunday school kid remembers that image of this man on a stretcher being lowered down by his friends and presented right before Jesus. Is that a sign of faith on the part of his friends or his family? Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing the man who is paralyzed in Mark chapter 2, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
So is this a sign of faith on the part of this man's family or friends who bring him to Jesus in this rather persistent and unusual manner?
That's a very good question, because we do know that some people did not have faith in Jesus as the Messiah when they went running after him. I'm speaking of the feeding of the 5,000. They wanted to make him a earthly king, and of course Jesus fled from them. So when we say did they have faith, we have to understand what faith is. And Scripture interprets Scripture. So the best way to find out what that faith was is to look at the Bible itself and see whether or not Jesus refers to it as faith. And guess what? He does. In fact, it's found in verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So we have to understand what faith is Jesus talking about, because even James talks about the faith of the devils. And of course, that's not saving faith. That's kind of a historic faith that believes Jesus did these things, etc. And there's a number of times in the Bible where it is clear that they saw the miracles of Jesus, and that still did not convince them that he was the Messiah. And in fact, those who did begin to believe, they kept silent, lest the Pharisees kick them out of the synagogue. So what kind of faith is Jesus referring to when he says to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven"? It's the faith of the men who brought him. Now, what is that faith? Is it a faith that would understand the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed? No, that came later as people were reading the Bible and put those items together. What this faith would be is perceiving Jesus as the one who is going to help their friend. And therefore, the Holy Spirit had put into their hearts that they needed to get him to Jesus because he would help them. And therefore, when he says he saw their faith, they would have a faith much like perhaps Simeon and Anna had, where they recognize that he was the true Messiah, even the Son of God. But I still believe that after Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," that would have taken those men aback, because they hadn't really come to Jesus to have the man's sins forgiven. They had come to Jesus instead in their thinking in order that their friend would be healed. So there's a lot more that we can discuss with the Sunday school children than just a historical event being taken apart, the man lowered down to Jesus. And maybe let me say one thing about the roof. Most of the roofs had two stories, or most of the houses, I should say. But recent archaeological discoveries have found that a lot of these houses could not have supported a second story. And therefore, the original roof on top of the first story would have been made from beams and branches of trees covered with a mixture of earth and straw. And therefore, it would not have been difficult for the four men to separate that in order to lower their friend down to Jesus. But again, how surprised were they when the word from Jesus is not be healed, take up your bed and walk, but rather your sins are forgiven.
They are not the only ones who are surprised. There are apparently scribes taking up space there in the house as well, who, at least to themselves, allege that Jesus is blaspheming. What would that have meant?
Yes. In fact, they were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming. And here's the reason. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, there's something going on here that we might not recognize, because all of us are familiar with pastors forgiving sins. It's called the absolution. After our confession of faith, upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And then the following words are very important. By his authority, I therefore forgive you your sins. In other words, we pastors have no power to forgive sins apart from that authority given to us by God himself. Jesus did not do that on the basis of having received authority. He says to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes are absolutely correct here that if he is not God, then he is blaspheming, because only God can forgive sins. And that's what they're saying. And Jesus, here we show again in verse 8 that he's God, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk? Now, that's an interesting question you can ask your congregations. Which is the easier to say? And I guarantee you that after they think about it, they're going to say, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. Now, that's once more the old Adam thinking, because they would say, if it's easier to say, rise, take up your bed and walk, well, guess what? If he is unable to take up his bed and walk, then this cannot be God. And so it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because there's no way whether anybody can figure out whether that has occurred. And that's why Jesus says, after he says, your sins are forgiven, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. which returns us to our question. What was the faith that these men had? Martin Luther often makes a real critical point when he says, though works of love can never get you saved, once you receive faith from the Holy Spirit, it is always active in works of love. So, when we have friends, family members, neighbors, people we work with, and I just heard from my State Farm agent that his father died just recently, and so we're sending him a card. Although he's not Lutheran, he's Christian, and we're putting a message in there to comfort him. Now, why are we doing that? Can we say that is because of our faith? Well, as soon as I heard that the member of his family had died, I just spontaneously said to my wife, we need to send them a card. She already got it. And that's faith active in love. So sometimes when Jesus says he sees their faith, he's talking about the understanding of their trust in the promises of the gospel. But that comes about a lot because people then do things in light of their faith in Jesus Christ. This month's Concordia Journal from the St. Louis Seminary has an excellent article by the President Meyer of Concordia Seminary where he talks about the three reasons why we go to church. In fact, I'm going to use some of that for the Easter sermon. But one of the reasons is we're just really faced with a lot of things in this world, and our Sunday school children are, that are contrary to the Word of God. We need a weekly instruction to keep us safe from the world's kind of thinking. So actually, going to church is not a faith that saves you because you've already been saved, but it is a faith active in love toward your Savior where you want to hear even more from Him as to how He can comfort you in your life as well as give you guidance in sharing the greatest message that's going to be heard this weekend, the resurrection of Christ, with not only your children, but also your adult children and your family, your relatives, your neighbors. So this faith is a faith active in love toward Jesus, who truly believes there is nothing you can go through in this life where He will not protect and keep you comforted.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. A few more minutes with him as we continue to teach a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Healing a Man Who Is Paralyzed, in Mark 2. Nicholas von Amsdorf was the only nobleman in Luther's inner circle, yet few people today have ever heard of him. Learn more about one of the first evangelical bishops in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Nicholas von Amsdorf, champion of Martin Luther's Reformation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Nicholas von Amsdorf.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc. Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators, too, with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. So, Tom, is it safe to say that what the people there in that house witnessed was not one miracle, but two miracles by Jesus?
I think it also says Jesus was preaching, and I'm sure he was talking about perhaps the reason he had come, so you might find even more miracles. It's just that the Bible doesn't include that. It depends what you mean by miracles. He has the miracle of being able to understand what the Pharisees are thinking. He has the miracle of being able to realize that these men have faith because of their love for their friend and their trust in Jesus to take care of them. And then he does the miracle of the healing. And one would think that the healing is the great thing that you grasp onto, but it really isn't. And that's according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says, though our outer self is wasting our way, and that would be the healing of the paralytic, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, that would be the healings, but to the things that are unseen, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness. For the things that are seen are transient. They're only going to last a little bit. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So even the Apostle Paul makes this distinction, the four men may not have been aware of, that the greater gift that Jesus gave to their friend was the gift of the forgiveness of sins, which opens heaven up to him and also provides a message to everybody else as to the purpose and function of the Son of Man sent by God in Daniel 7, the Ancient of Days, to the earth to redeem people on earth.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus Healing a Man Who is Paralyzed in Mark chapter 2. We'll have a few more minutes with him on the other side of the break, teaching this lesson a little further. Then Pastor Peter Bender joins us for part two of our ongoing conversation with him on Lutheran Catechesis, the Catechism on Creation. Then Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be alongside to answer the question, how is Lent like a Christian funeral?
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Nadia Bowles Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing the paralytic in Mark chapter 2. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Here's a little bit from Growing in Christ, this particular Sunday school lesson. The miracle of healing the paralytic confirms that Jesus, the Son of Man, has authority to forgive sins on earth. But it also confirms that the Son of Man came chiefly not to doctor, but to deliver. Absolution is a foretaste of the resurrection, when indeed the body itself will be fully healed, restored in Christ, the Savior and healer. You can see just from that excerpt how Christ-centered and cross-focused Growing in Christ is as a Sunday school curriculum. You can read free samples for yourself. Just call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. They'd be happy to send them to you. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, the men come in, the man is laid before them, the exchange takes place. I want you to talk a little bit about this, they've never seen anything like this before aspect of this miracle.
I think what Mark is talking about there is that there was expectation that he would be healed, perhaps, because he had been healing people all day long. But instead, he forgives sins. And so that's really important to get across to the Sunday school children. I recall KFUO has a share-a-thon each year, and as people donate gifts to the radio station, they receive a gift. And I remember one year that they gave a gift of an umbrella. And so here people walked into the area, and they get an umbrella, and they look outside, and it's not raining. What do you need an umbrella for if it's not raining? But the people at KFUO had insight knowing that there would come a time when they're going to need an umbrella. In fact, I don't know if God did this on purpose or whatever, but the roof very close to where the KFUO studios were began to leak. And there's a beautiful statue there of C.F.W. Walther, of course, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I walked in one day, and guess what they had put on top of him? The umbrella that had been given out for the share-a-thon. This is similar to what happens to these individuals. They go expecting a healing, and instead they get the forgiveness of sins. And that's because that is a far greater gift to receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins. In fact, one can make a point that all the miracles of Jesus were done in order to give evidence to the people that he truly is the Messiah who would come. Last week we had a Bible study on Law and Gospel, and we only went through Isaiah 53. And I received numerous comments about how close Isaiah 53 was to the historical events that occurred on the cross and the meaning of those events. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his stripes we are healed. And so Jesus' proper task was definitely to die for the forgiveness of our sins. But in the meantime, he wanted people to be seeing him as the one that had been promised in the Old Testament. This day at KFUO, each week, Long Gospel goes through the hymn of the week. And this week for Easter, it's Awake My Heart with Gladness. And as we went through the first stanza, it was really amazing how close this was to the paralytic association. Awake my heart with gladness, see what today is done. Now, after gloom and sadness, comes forth the glorious sun. My Savior there was laid, where our bed must be made, when to the realms of light our spirit wings its flight. Now that last phrase, our spirit wings its flight, that's what those four men did. They had a friend, he needed help, and their spirit kind of flew to Jesus. And when they had so many people there, I mean, it was kind of a large house, it must have been, to hold as many people as were there, and you couldn't get in the doors. Perhaps some scholars suggest there was a steps on the outside going to the roof where people would often sleep. They went up there and took off the branches and whatever the roof was put together to lay their friend before Jesus. It is the task of the Sunday school teacher to help the children understand that when they are in trouble, when they are in grief, when they have problems, when they have sorrows, to have their spirit wing its flight to Jesus. And sometimes that's going to mean talking to the Sunday school teacher, other times definitely to their parents, and maybe even one to another, so that the Sunday school children begin to see that there is nothing happening in their life where Jesus has left them. And verse 6 says this, "Now I will cling forever to Christ my Savior true. My Lord will leave me never, whatever he passes through." And I find that really interesting. You would thought that Paul Gerhardt, who wrote the hymn, would have wrote, "My Lord will leave me never, whatever I pass through." But the text is very clear. Jesus has compassion. And that word compassion means he suffers with. And therefore, he was suffering with the paralytic, and he passed through to the paralytic as he was brought to him and gave him the greatest gift that could ever be given, the same gift these children received in the waters of baptism, the gift of the forgiveness of sins.
With a couple minutes here, Tom, Jesus certainly is demonstrating that he's God and that he forgives sin, but we know clearly from Scripture that God doesn't simply forgive by divine fiat. He doesn't forgive for no reason. That all of his forgiveness, Old Testament and New Testament, is based entirely upon the death of Jesus for the sins of mankind at the cross. Your final thoughts on that with about 2 minutes.
That's really a good point to bring up, that we often forget when Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven," from his knowledge of the Old Testament and perhaps some messages from the Father, he knew that he could not say that unless he was willing to go to the cross to pay the payment that should have been ours, eternal damnation and being forsaken by the Father. Jesus suffered that. As he said, therefore, from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And already at the cross, there was a promise to one who also had faith in him, a thief. "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And that meant that as the death of both of them occurred, the Spirit of Jesus went to the Father. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and the spirit of the thief. So they were both with the heavenly place as we look forward to the raising of the body of Jesus Christ 3 days later.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio program called Law and Gospel. You can learn more about Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand section at issuesetc.org. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pastor Peter Bender is with us on the other side of the break on this Tuesday, April the 16th. We have a series on Lutheran catechesis, and yesterday we started a conversation with him on the creation account in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Today we'll take up that conversation again and talk about the Catechism on Creation. Then President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Pastor Matt Harrison, joins us to answer the question, how is the season of Lent like a Christian funeral?
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us. E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L press.us.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.